to be raised in a Christian home, having my dad as my pastor, and have a mom and siblings who's faithfully serving the Lord with me. But although I grew up going to church, grew up going to Sunday school every Sunday, because you know what will happen. If a preacher's kid don't go on Sunday schools on Sundays, if you know what I mean, only got saved when I was 13 years old. May 2013, in a youth camp that our church held, I realized that I am a sinner. And I am bound to hell, and I cannot do anything about it but to believe that Jesus died for my sins. And church, that was the best and the most important decision I have made in my life. However, to be honest with you all tonight, I don't want to be a missionary. I even hated the idea of me would go into a Bible college to study. Because you know, in the Philippines, for going to a Bible college, that only means you're called into full-time ministry. Called to be a pastor, called to be a missionary or a preacher. So back then, since I didn't really have the desire, I kept telling myself, don't be one. Don't be a missionary. Knowing deep down in my heart, there's something that God wants me to do. And for many years, I was the kind of man, just for the main reason, growing up, I saw what my dad went through. You know, not only in the ministry, but especially in our family. Church, don't get me wrong, but one thing I am most proud of in life is not other than to serve the Lord alongside of my family. But you know what, church, growing up, I saw how hard it is sometimes to be in the ministry. Growing up, I saw how painful it can be sometimes doing the Lord's word. But you know, as my dad being the pastor, he needs to be there, he needs to give help, he needs to be the encouragement, even though he himself or we as a family were going on through something. And having that in mind, that pointed me to a decision to finish a college degree and to just to pursue a career in engineering to help my family meet ends on a regular basis. Before, I wanted to be an engineer, because life was hard and I wanted to help my family. But I praise God for His goodness in my life. Praise God for His faithfulness. Because even though I don't deserve it, I'm not even worthy to preach His word. But 5 years ago, God dealt something in my life that changed me completely. 2018, I went again to a youth camp, and that year I surrendered my life into full-time ministry. I will never forget the message that my dad preached that night. The title is, Where Could We Go But to the Lord? And church, that is true. We don't have hope in this world. Everything will soon pass, but we believers, we have hope, amen. And that hope is found in the Lord. And after that, church, God's will, it prevailed in my life. It's like everything fell into place. I had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to have a scholarship and study here in the United States at Day Spring Bible College up in Mundelein, Illinois, to get my training and go back to the Philippines to start a mission work. I graduated from college last year of April, and I took this privilege to go on deputation in the country, and I'm raising funds and support and praying for churches or fellow Christians who can partner with me as I go in the mission field this year. I am praying for 40 churches who can partner with me, and as of almost 10 months of deputation, there are 15 churches that promise to take me on for support. And I know I have a long way to go, but I always thank God for what He has done for the past 10 months, amen. Because for the past 10 months, I saw how He provided in my life. For the past 10 months, I saw how He met my needs, according to His riches and in glory, and always thank Him and praise Him for that. And church, I just wanted to encourage you with this before I played a video tonight. What I saw in my life is just as I thought I figured my life already. Just as I thought I planned everything out, be an engineer, help my family meet ends. But the Lord said, Joshua, I have a better plan for you. I just don't want you to help your family meet ends, but I wanted you to go, and I wanted you to reach, and I want you to labor in my harvest field. See, church, some people may tend to ask, Brother Joshua, did your life get any easier? No. Brother Joshua, I'm sure you're going to be able to achieve your goals before heading back to the Philippines. To be honest, church, I don't know, and I don't have an answer for that. But one thing I know and one thing I've learned is the safest place that I can be in. The safest place and the best place that you and I can be in is in the center of God's will. And for where the Lord God, He will provide. And that's what I'm clinging on to right now. You see, church, God's plans for our lives is so much better. Day and night difference. As I heard a preacher once said, we can hide from the calling of God, but we can never run from it, just like what Jonah did. But the only thing we need to do, the only thing we need to learn, is we needed to learn to obey and surrender to God and His will. And right now, church, I just wanted to play a short video presentation for you, church, to see the burden that the Lord placed in my heart. And I hope this video would open our eyes that in other ends of the world, other parts of the world, there's still people who are lost and will die someday and go to hell if no one will tell them about the saving grace of Jesus. And I hope this will be a blessing to everyone.
Philippines is a small country located in Southeast Asia. It's an archipelago that consists of more than 7,000 islands. The Philippines is divided into three major island groups: Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. The capital of the Philippines is Manila. The total population of the Philippines is now estimated at 130,500,000 souls. The Philippines is ethnically diverse people that is composed of nearly 100 culturally and linguistically distinct ethnic groups. The Philippines is known for its breathtaking views, its rich culture, and hospitable people. While the country of the Philippines is beautiful, it's facing a sad and terrible problem. Satan has established a foothold and has no intention of falling back. 81% of the population in the Philippines identifies as Roman Catholics. 5.1% identifies as Islam. 11.1% of people identifies as cults, atheists, and other beliefs. And 2.8% identifies as evangelicals. Although the Philippines has freedom of religion, we cannot hide the truth that the Filipinos are still in bondage and chained from these wrong beliefs, and as a result, many people will die and suffer in hell for eternity if no one will reach them. It is true that the field is plenteous, the harvest is white already, but who will go and labor in the harvest field? My name is Joshua Hansangalang, and I am willing and determined to go and labor the harvest field in the Philippines. I surrendered my life into full-time ministry when I was 18 years old, and God placed a burden in my heart to reach my people. I saw many people that are lost, without purpose, without hope, just like I am before the Lord changed my life. In the following year, as I go back to the Philippines, I will start my mission in a place called Cavite. Cavite is a province located southwest of Manila. Cavite is home for almost 4 million people, which makes it one of the most populous provinces in the Philippines. The province of Cavite is predominantly Catholic, with a significant Muslim minority in some areas, and has a desperate need of Baptist churches. The province played a crucial role in the history of the Philippines because it is the place where the first president first raised and waved our flag as a sign of freedom from the colonizer. They say the Philippines is the only Christian country in Asia, but if we look closer to the Christianity that the Filipinos embraced, it is the same belief that would lead them to suffer in hell. God commanded us to go into all the world, and we have a world full of people who doesn't know Christ and looking for that blessed home. Are we willing to take the next step and reach them for the Lord? Partner with me as I reach and labor the fields in the Philippines. Make me your representative and let's work together to reach the Philippines today. All over the world, there is a mission field. Even where you are. And we have a work to do. Let's do it while we can.
I mean, as you see in the video, 80% of almost 114 million identifies as Roman Catholics in the Philippines. Would you please pray for me? Please continue to pray for me as I go this year to the mission field this year. But I'm still praying as I'm here in the United States. I'm still praying for churches, fellow Christians who can partner with me. And I hope and pray you would consider taking me on as one of your missionaries to the Philippines. And also be in prayer, because for the last couple of months, we've been praying for a project before we head back to the Philippines this coming November 2024. We've been praying for we be able to acquire a church van in the Philippines. Because you see here, unlike in America, your cars here are really nice. They even had its own hot and cold air condition. We know a church in the Philippines, not everyone are fortunate enough to have their own means of transportation. people who are with deep desire, people who are really longing to go to church but aren't able to because of their situation. And I saw this need based on experience because before I left for college, this was my main ministry in the Philippines. On Sundays, I wake up a little early, then I will pick up our church members in their houses, and I will bring them to church for our church Sunday services. Then after the service, I will bring them back to their homes. And you see, in the Philippines, some people really need help just going to church. And for this project, we're praying at least $15,000 so we can acquire or we can buy a brand new van in the Philippines. And you can help us in two ways. You can give directly towards this van, and most especially, you can pray for me as we try to achieve or try to reach this goal before heading to the mission field this year. Church, we only have one goal. Our goal is to bring the church to the people, but we wanted also to bring the people to an actual church. And I hope you would consider praying, would consider helping me as we try to achieve this goal before heading to the mission field. And before I preach tonight, I just wanted to share a little song. You know, church, I've been here in the United States for almost 3 years now, and I got the privilege to experience four seasons. And, you know, in the Philippines, there's only two seasons, the hot season and the hotter season. But, you know, here in America, there's four, and I've been blessed to experience those, and it was really nice. And I've been to Tennessee for almost a year now, for 10 months, and I saw beautiful mountains, especially in East Tennessee and here in North Carolina. And that's great things that our eyes can see. But you know what, church? 3 weeks ago, I went to Virginia in a revival and went to Brookside Baptist Church for a revival. And the evangelist was done preaching. He's doing an invitation. The evangelist is Evangelist Travis Kerouac. And there's a man in front of me, two rows in front of me, raised his hand and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And church, you know what? That is the greatest thing our eyes can ever see. And I hope this song will be a blessing to everyone. I've been to a lot of places. I have seen a lot of things. Mine eyes have viewed the beauty of so many wondrous things. From the flowers in the springtime, in a valley deep and wide. From the majesty of mountains in the ocean swelling tide. But these things soon fade away. They seem to grow so small when I compare them to the greatest miracle of all. For the greatest thing my eyes have seen is a changing of a life. When a sinner falls down on his knees and bring his heart to Christ, nothing moves my soul to tears like the joy redemption brings. And to witness true salvation, it's the greatest thing my eyes have ever seen. I have seen a dying, hopeless soul find joy and peace and love. I had seen them pass from death to life by the power of Jesus' blood. From the wealthy born in riches to the poorest homeless man, from the oldest folk to the youngest child who received salvation's plan. There are many things I've liked to see before this journey ends, but they can't compare to what I see when a soul is born again. For the greatest thing my eyes have seen is a changing of a life. When a sinner falls down on his knees and bring his heart to Christ, nothing moves my soul to tears like the joy redemption brings. And to witness true salvation is the greatest thing my eyes have ever seen. Amen. Once again, Pastor, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you for entrusting your pulpit with me tonight. And as we get to the Word, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to John chapter 6. And I'll be reading verses 1 down to verse 14. John chapter 6, verses 1 down to verse 14. And this is a very familiar passage in the Bible. John chapter 6, verses 1 down to verse 14. And if you're able tonight, would you please stand with me as we give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 6, verses 1 down to verse 14. Verse 1, the Bible says, "After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, saith unto Philip, Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the man sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the man sat down, and numbered about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Verse 14, Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that a prophet should come into the world. I borrowed a title of our message tonight in a very familiar song, Little is Much When God Is In It. Little is much when God is in it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we still have to gather together to study your word. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful opportunity that you have given me. Use me, O God. I can only speak to their ears, and I ask you to speak to their hearts tonight. Make me a channel of blessing to your wonderful people tonight. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen and amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much. Church, have you ever been to a point in your life that everything seems so overwhelming? You know, problems are just piling up. Or maybe your financial situation seems unsteady, especially the day and age we're living in right now. Or maybe you're experiencing some health issues in your life. Or maybe regards with your relationships, with your families, or with your friends start conflicts. Or maybe even at your work. There's too much stress. There's too much responsibilities. You see, church, sometimes we experience these things in life we call problems that are so overwhelming, and many times we just don't know what to do, amen. Many times we don't know how to solve it. Many times we have no idea how to gain control over it. You see, church, we as humans, we have the tendency, or I can say it is in our nature, that we wanted to keep everything just within our control. And with that being said, we tend to plan everything to make sure everything is in order. And if you ask me, church, for me, planning is a great thing to do, amen? It is good to plan things so we can prevent having bigger problems. It is good to plan things so we can prevent having bigger challenges ahead of us. But you know what, church? I just wanted to tell you tonight that there's instances in our lives that is beyond our control. You see, no matter how hard we plan it, no matter what we do, there's just things in this life that it's beyond our capacity, it's beyond our ability to control, it's just beyond our human mind. And what I'm trying to say tonight, that there's things in this life we don't have the ability to control, and the only thing that we can do is give it to the Lord. You know what, church, when I was doing the sermon, I remembered on how I had a hard time going here in the United States for my studies. You know, church, just to start, the cost of the whole process was really, really expensive, and the percentage for me to get the student visa is below 20%. So during that time, me and my family were taking a great risk because there was no assurance if I can get the visa or not. And also during that time, as crazy as it might sound, my passport was expired. You see, I remember it was the month of July, my passport was expired. The semester is about to start in August. And on top of that, that happened almost 3 years ago. The pandemic was still a big problem, not only in the Philippines, but in the whole world. In order for me to get my passport fixed, is number one, I needed to book an online appointment. But church, here's the thing, here's where the problem comes in. During that time, the reservation from July to October were booked already. All reservations were booked during that time. So you see, church, in that situation, I was facing a great challenge because if I missed that, maybe I wouldn't be here tonight. If I missed that, maybe I wouldn't have the opportunity to have a scholarship and study here in the United States. It was a problem beyond my control. And the only thing left for me to do is to pray to God and surrender it to Him. Because it was beyond my control. I cannot do anything about it. But you know what, church, what happened next was a blessing. I don't know how. I don't even know what to do, but my God does, amen. Church, can you believe it? One reservation became available because someone canceled their appointment. Church, I don't know who the person was. I don't know the reason behind why they canceled, but somehow, someone canceled. Then my sister, she helped me to get that reservation, and surely enough, the problem was beyond my control, but my God was always in control. You see, church, I may not know it, but I'm sure you've experienced some things in your life that seems out of your control. Maybe you're experiencing it right now, or have experienced in the past, but we have a story in the Bible that shows the same thing, amen. So you see, the disciples were facing a great challenge, amen. So just to give a quick background of the text we read earlier, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, and great multitude or people were following him just because of this reason. Jesus was doing miraculous things during that time. So by the time he went over to the Sea of Galilee, multitude or people were following him, hoping he would do miracles in their lives. But after that, church, Jesus went up into a mountain to sit with his disciples. But when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw many people and said in verse 5, the Bible says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company. And church, we can see in the later part of that verse is a great challenge, amen, a great problem for the disciples. He asked Philip, one of his disciples, he said unto him, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? So you see, as you know, the feeding 5,000 is a very familiar passage in the Bible. Maybe we have heard many sermons about this topic before, but aside from the resurrection of Jesus, this was the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. So we can read it in Matthew, in Mark, Luke, and John. And if you look at it in Matthew's account, in Matthew 14, 15, the Bible says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into villages and buy themselves victuals or food. So here, church, we will see that he's not only feeding thousands of people, but to make things worse, the Bible says the time is now past, or it's evening time or night time, which means there was nowhere to buy food. Also, they're in a desert place, or they're in a remote area during that time. So you see, church, during that time, the disciples were facing a great challenge. So instead of sending the people away, instead of sending the people back to their homes, as the disciples figured to do, Jesus told them to give those people something to eat. But for tonight, church, I just want us to look on how they reacted to the challenge, amen. I want us to look on how they reacted to the problem that was set before them. Number one, church, I want us to look on how Philip reacted to the problem. We can read in verse 7 of John chapter 6, the Bible says, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. You see, church, in this time, Philip thought that in order for them to solve the problem, Philip thought that in order for them to face the problem, Philip thought they needed money. He said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them to take even a little. Therefore, he was trying to say that if they had more money, maybe they could have solved the problem. Philip was trying to say during that time, if they had more money, maybe they could have bought the food needed and get everyone to eat. You see, church, the first thing that went to Philip's mind during a great challenge is that if he has the money, he could somehow solve the problem. Church, can I ask one thing tonight? What comes first in our minds when we're facing challenges? What comes first in our minds when we're facing typical tribulations in life? You see, church, Philip in his mind, he merely ran to the cost of the whole challenge. He even calculated how many man hours of work needed to feed those people. But you know what, church, what he forgot? What he forgot is the only way to feed those people is by Jesus doing a miracle. He thought by leaning on what he has materially, he thought by leaning on what he has financially would somehow make a difference and solve the problem at hand. But he forgot is not what he has, is not what he can offer, is not what he can bring to the table, but it was Jesus that can make the difference. You see, church, sometimes we tend to lean on what we have, our possessions, but at the end of the day, the only thing that will make a difference is Jesus himself. And church, don't get me wrong tonight. I'm not here in front of you. I'm not here trying to say that money's not important. I'm not here. I'm not trying to say that we don't need money. I know we need money. I know we need to pay our bills. We need to buy things using our money in order for us to survive. But one thing I am trying to say tonight, that there's things in this life that money cannot buy, and only Jesus can satisfy. You see, church, Jesus already knows what to do. From the beginning of their situation, Jesus knows what to do. It said in verse 6, the Bible says, "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." Church, God already knows what to do. Whatever you're facing in life right now, whatever circumstance you're in, he already knows what to do. And we just have to trust his ways and know that he's figured it out already. Amen. Number two, church, not only Philip, but I want us to look at how Andrew reacted to the problem. Amen. Verse 9, we can read in the same chapter. The Bible says, "Andrew said to the Lord, 'There is a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?'" So at first I thought this guy, Andrew, he was a solver, amen. So maybe as soon as he heard the problem, he probably went out to look for a solution, and then he came across this kid. He came across this lad which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes with him that day. But church, what I find interesting to Andrew's statement, he said, "What are these among so many?" So this time, church, we can see Andrew found a source, amen. Andrew found a source. And source, according to the internet, source was defined as one that supplies something. So during this time, we can see Andrew found something that can supply, which is the 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes that the lad had during that day. But church, we can also see during that time that he got discouraged because what he saw was not enough. He saw we just have 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. What this can do. You see, church, he found a lad who was a little lunch for himself, but Andrew got discouraged because it was not enough. Andrew found a source, but it was not enough. And church, and if we take a closer look at it, Andrew seems right, amen? Andrew seems right. You see, what can a little lunch could do to feed 5,000 people, excluding the women and the children during that day? And if we look at it on the way Andrew reacted in that moment, maybe many of us or all of us would agree with him, amen? Because you see, 5 loaves of bread, 2 small fishes, and I personally believe they needed to feed more than 5,000 people during that day. See, church, many times in life like Andrew, we get easily discouraged because we are too focused to the things that seems not enough. Many times in life, we get easily discouraged because we are too focused to the challenge. And because we are too focused on the challenge, to the things that seems not enough, many times we forget that Jesus is with us. You see, church, with Andrew's hand at little lunch, they won't take them far. You see, no matter how they break the bread, no matter how they slice the fish, it's not just possible. But just if you look at it under the other direction, with Jesus' hand, that lunch is enough. You see, church, it only matters whose hand it's with, amen. You see, a basketball in my hand, maybe it could worth $5 to $10. But a basketball to Michael Jordan's hand, would worth thousands of dollars. You see, a golf ball in my hand with my signature on it would worth nothing because I don't know nothing about golf. But you see, a golf ball to Tiger Woods' hand would cost so much. It only matters whose hand it's with. You see, a slingshot in my hand, it's nothing but a kid's toy. But a slingshot to King David's hand can slay a giant and set them free. And you see, like Andrew, 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes in my hand is nothing but a little lunch. But in the hands of Jesus, it can feed thousands of people. You see, friends, Jesus was with Andrew during that time, and he seemed to forget about that. Jesus was literally with him, and they've been together for quite some time, and yet he failed to see that Jesus was the solution to their problem. He forgot that Jesus was doing miraculous things before they got in that situation. But during this time, they thought it was completely impossible to feed those people. Philip thought they needed money. He thought by leaning on what he has would somehow make a difference. Same goes with Andrew. Andrew found a source, and yet he failed to see what Jesus can do. But number three, church, lastly, I want us to look on how the lad reacted to the challenge, amen. I just want us to look on how the lad reacted. We can read in verse 9 of the same chapter in John. The Bible says, There is a lad here who had 5 barley loaves and two small fishes. So here, church, really quickly, I just wanted to point out his readiness. Amen. You see, church, out of thousands of people that followed Jesus that day, only the lad was actually ready to follow Jesus. Church, have you ever thought that out of all men and women, adult, present that time, only the lad was actually ready to follow Jesus? You see, that no matter what happened, no matter how big the problem he might face along the way, he might get tired or he might get hungry, but he was prepared and ready, having that little lunch, and follow Jesus again. Church, I just wanted to tell you tonight that we will still face challenges, even if we're following Jesus. And God is telling us tonight there will be a challenge, but the question is, are we ready just like the lad? Are we ready just like the lad? You see, church, God commanded us to reach the world just as he commanded his disciples to give those people something to eat. And that's a great challenge before us, but the question is, are we ready? Are we ready? Church, not only he was ready, but he was also available, amen. Church, don't you think the reason Andrew found this lad in the first place, because he was just close to them. Church, we need to realize there's thousands of people during that day. But don't you think he was just there available, waiting for what he can do? Amen. You see, the ministry that was laid before us has so much work to do. This church has so many visions to reach not only the community, but to reach the whole world. But the question is, are we available? Are we available? See, church, God doesn't choose people just because they're talented. God doesn't choose people just because they excel in something they do. But rather, God uses people who are available. Church, are we available? You see, church, we have a work to do. We have a world full of lost people to reach. But keep in mind, God uses people not because they're talented, not because they're gifted, but rather God uses people who are available. Church, are we available? Are we available? You see, church, sometimes, many times in life, we get too preoccupied in the affairs of this life. And many times we forget to do the things that really matters the most. And that's to be used by our God to reach this lost and dying world. Church, are we ready? Are we available? And number three, church, lastly, I just want us to look on his sacrifice. And almost done here tonight, church. Just want us to look on the lad's sacrifice. Church, there are times in life that we will face troubles. We will experience sufferings, and many times that we will never imagine we'd face in this life. And many times we just don't know what to do. Maybe like Philip, we tend to depend on something we can offer. Or maybe like Andrew, we get easily discouraged because we are too focused to the challenge. But you know what, church? I just wanted to tell you tonight, just as the lad gave up his 5 loaves of bread, 2 small fishes to God, that is the exact same thing we need to do. Give it to God. Lord, it's yours. I don't know how, but I trust you. And by doing that, we're telling God, Lord, here's what I can do. Take my 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. I surrender it to you. See, church, the lad reacted to the great challenge by allowing God to use what he has. He even sacrificed his lunch, the only thing he has during that time. What are we willing to sacrifice? What are we willing to sacrifice? You see, church, many people think when we speak about sacrifice, it's always giving financially, always giving materially. But you know what, church? Many times sacrificing is, to some people, it only means your time. Sometimes it only means your care. You're making an effort. Going out of your way, spending that time with your loved ones, spending that time with your saved co-workers and saved neighbors, and telling them about Jesus. Many times that's what all it takes. Many times all it takes. And see, on the other hand, sometimes many people think, or many Christians think, that we are the ones to provide for them. We are the ones to give what their needs. But you know what, church? That's not our job. It's beyond our capacity to do that. It's beyond our ability to do that. But you know what, church? What we can do, is just give up that 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. And as soon as we do that, we will surely see that little is much when God is in it. I always love how that song goes in the chorus, like, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Tonight, church, I want us to realize what the lad had during that time wasn't enough. What the lad had during that time won't solve the problem, But when he learned to give it to God, no matter how small, his little became much. And not because of him, but because God was in it. You see, church, in following Jesus, there is a challenge. We have to be ready. We need to take up our cross because following Jesus is not a guarantee of a perfect life. We will still struggle. We will still face challenges. But as we face those challenges, are we available? Are we willing to take that next step? And as we take that next step, are we willing to sacrifice? Church, there's a huge challenge. There's a great challenge right now in the Philippines. People are blinded. People are dying not knowing Christ. Are we willing to sacrifice for them to hear the gospel? Are we willing to sacrifice just a little for them to hear the gospel and to know Christ? You know, church, before I end, I just wanted to share a story that, you know, I'm always thankful for all of the missionaries who have sent in the Philippines back in the day. Because tonight in front of you, I can proudly say that I'm a product of what American missionaries did back in the Philippines. Because you see, my grandpa was an alcoholic and was led to the Lord by an American missionary. And his name is Pastor Bill Tisdale, and he's from Texas. And eventually, my grandpa became a deacon to the church that led my dad to be raised in a Christian home and eventually called to be a missionary. That led me to be raised in a Christian home, and I'm on my way to the mission field this year. And you see, what you're seeing in front of you is a third generation of preachers in our family, because God used a man to go and labor in the Philippines, sacrifice the wonderful life here in America, to share the gospel to the Filipinos. And you know what, church, I can say tonight, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. Church, Jesus is coming back. His coming is imminent. We don't know when, but he can come anytime. But we still have a work to do. We still have a work to do. And there's a challenge laid before us tonight. How are we going to react? How are we going to react? I challenge everyone to still strive their hardest. Or to strive their hardest to do what we need to do. I challenge everyone to still do what we can. Because there will come a time that there will be no more time to do what we needed to do. So therefore, let's do it while we can. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much.